God gave me a word for the new year, I believe, for our church. And let's pray and we'll jump right in. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our teacher. We thank you for the grace that we've encountered through Jesus Christ. Father, you've given us your favor. You've washed our sins, removed them as far as the east is from the west. And as we've surrendered our lives and our hearts to you today, I thank you there's a freshness that's coming now, like a fresh fallen snow. Freshness is coming upon the people of God. A new start as we prepare to enter this new year, as we prepare to walk into the unknown, Lord. We know that you're with us and we can face anything without fear because of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me say this about 2026. I just have in my heart that we're going to be a more of a missions church in 2026 than we've ever done before. Last year, 2025, early, we explored the possibilities of planting a church in Israel. And Rick Cady was so gracious and willing to go over, even in the midst of potential wartime there in Israel. In fact, the Sunday before we flew out, there was a missile that landed not far from the airport we were going to land at. And so I looked at Rick like, you're still up for this? And he was a good trooper. He was really, really brave about it. And so we went over there and God just opened all kinds of doors of favor with people. And how many of you know it's not what you know, it's who you know. And when God opens a connection with people, there amazing things can happen. And so we saw the Lord begin to open the door there in Arbel, Tiberias, along the Sea of Galilee. And I believe even more is to come in 2026. We were at a conference recently. We heard a great quote, and it said this. This was in honor of John Williams, not the composer, Alan, but John Williams, the missionary, who in the 1800s braved from England. He went over to the Pacific Islands near the Solomon Islands. And John had in his heart to reach out to the island people there in an area that's now called Vanuatu. Vanuatu. It's not easy to say on a Sunday morning. Vanuatu. And at that time, the islanders on that particular group of islands in that region were actually cannibals. They were very hostile to outsiders. And he landed first over near the Solomon Islands, and then he was a shipbuilder, and so he would build ships, and he actually built the canoes that he took from that island over to Vanuatu. And when he got there, he and the gentlemen that were with him were both martyred for the Lord, for the gospel. They were killed. But they so inspired the people of the Solomon Islands that the people of the Solomon Islands started going on a regular basis. And eventually they broke through that barrier of hostility there on Vanuatu. And here's the slogan that they would say as they left the Solomon Islands in their canoes and they ventured out to follow the path that John Williams had blazed. They looked back at their people. On the shore, and they said, if we don't come back, send more. And if they don't come back, send more. Wow. What bravery, huh? If we don't come back, send more. That's what they hollered back at their families and loved ones on the shore as they were leaving the island. Well, in 2026, we're going to venture out. We're not going to wait for our church to become a massive 1,000, 10,000 member congregation to do big things. Amen. How many of you know we can do big things wherever we're at in the Lord? So I don't know what's ahead exactly, but if I don't come back, I'm kidding. Send more. No, I'm not kidding. My wife's looking at me like, okay, here's the word of the Lord for 2026 that I have for our church. We are people of the word. Say it with me. We are people of the word. One more time. We are people of the word. What do I mean by that? Well, we've talked a lot about this book lately. And, if I reminded you of this every Sunday, it wouldn't be too often enough to say, read it some more, chew on it, speak it. Amen. Because we are to be people of the word. Every time you speak it, you're watering whatever it is you're believing God for. You know, so often in our human minds, what we're resistant toward is repetition. Because you've heard the saying, anybody who does the same thing over and over again and gets the same results, it's defined as what? insanity, right? But see, in the kingdom, sometimes I know it feels that way. You're confessing, you know, my children will be taught of the Lord. Great will be their peace and undisturbed composure. You know, whatever it is, the verse that God's put on your heart to speak over your family, your finances, your situation. And you speak it and speak it and speak it and you see nothing changing. Well, what are you to do? Speak it some more. Keep speaking the word, right? Say and say and say. And don't give up. Because repetition is watering. If you're taking notes, please write that. Repetition is watering. How do you water the seed of the word of God in your life? You repeat it. You repeat it. You repeat it. We should never come to church and say, oh, I've heard that before. And there's a temptation sometimes when you've heard, you hear a message and you think, oh, I know this. In the kingdom, we never know completely. Amen? There's revelation that unlocks and unveils itself to us every time we hear the word of God. Praise the Lord. So this aspect of what I'm talking about, being people of the word, speaking the word, this is something that's been a, if you will, a dormant activity in most believers. Most believers are fairly good at praying to God, but they're not real good at saying. But there's a time to pray. There's a time to say. Jesus didn't say pray about the mountain. He said, speak to the mountain. Amen. When Moses got to the edge of the Red Sea, he cried out to God, said, Lord, in case you didn't notice, there's an ocean in front of us, an army behind us. And God rebuked him. Imagine that. It's one of those verses in the Bible you go, did I read that right? God rebuked him and he said, Moses, why are you crying out to me? Lift up your rod and you make a way. Did he not? He told him that. He said, you command the ocean. You command the waters to part. So this is what I want to provoke you to in 2026. You command. You say. You read, you chew, you meditate, and then you speak the word of God. Amen? Because God's not going to move your mountain for you without you speaking. He'll move it when you speak to it. Amen? Jesus spent a lot of time praying. He would pray in private. But when he came out of that prayer time with the Father, that intimate, quiet time, and he spent lots of time doing it, apparently, from what the Bible tells us. When he came out of those moments of intimacy with the Father, he would then step into the public arena. And what would he do? He would speak. He would rebuke devils. He would command sicknesses off of people. He would command the waves and the wind to be still. Amen? He spoke after he had prayed. So the two go hand in hand. I'm not saying don't leave one out. I'm not saying leave one out for the other. There is a time to pray, but there's a time to say. Amen? And in 2026, we need to do more saying. God created the worlds in the beginning by speaking. God would speak, the Holy Spirit would move in power, and things would change. Creation came about. In similar fashion, we're called upon at times to speak under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And what happens? When you speak the word of God concerning that situation, that trouble, that mountain in front of you, the Spirit of power moves. Things change. Things are created. As you speak, let me say this about yourself. And this is a sobering reminder for the power of our words. What you say, you become. That's true. If we really believe that, I think we'd watch what we say about ourselves. Amen. And not just saying here from our outward mouth, but even inwardly. What you say about yourself. I'm always late. I always forget people's names. You hear people say that all the time. Stop saying that. You're it's like putting rebar in the cement and reinforcing that cement to never budge. Don't say that about yourself. What you say, you become. Your words contain power to change things. You know, it's fascinating to me that it's not what we want we become. It's what we say, right? Not what you wish. It's what you say. Another aspect of words is what you hear, you become. Careful what you allow in your ears, not only your natural ears, but your spiritual ears. You know, the spirit realm is always talking to us about who we are, trying to convince us other than what Jesus says. That's why it's so important to be people of the Word. What you hear about yourself, you become. In the Jewish culture, Jewish faith, there's a prayer called the Shema prayer. And I've mentioned this a couple times over the years. The Shema, S-H-E-M-A, Shema. Shema. It's the fundamental statement of faith in Judaism. And it articulates a belief in a singular God, one God, and our obligation to love Him completely. Jews repeat the prayer three times daily. Three times, every day. It's a lifelong creed being first prayed by Jewish children. It's the first prayer they're taught as children. The Shema prayer. It's also the final declaration that Jews who are faithful to their beliefs, it's the final words on their lips on their deathbed. And many a Jewish martyr has uttered these words, the Shema prayer, as they were being executed by their enemies. It's written on the mezuzahs. How many of you ever seen a mezuzah? Ever walked into a Jewish house? On the doorframe, there's a little, it looks like a tiny mailbox. It's a container that contains the words to the Shema prayer. It's called the mezuzah. You've also seen, probably if you've seen news coverage of people in Jerusalem, you've seen these boxes strapped to these guys' heads, leather boxes. And those also contain it because the scripture says, let that be like a frontlet between your eyes. And sometimes they'll strap them to their arms. That's not a, you know, special weapon, a martial arts weapon strapped to that guy's arms. I wrote it down here. I forget how you pronounce it. Tefillin. It's a leather box worn on the head and on the arm. It's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, the Shema prayer. You can read it later. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. And it begins this way. Hear, O Israel. Hear. Wouldn't be a bad idea for us to repeat that three times a day, would it? Listen to God, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Right? The Shema prayer starts with the word hear. I was reading in Pastor Mark Brzee's devotional. How many of you have your Mark Brzee devotional? This is a great, great thing to chew on every day regarding healing. We gave these out, I think, to the whole church, didn't we? Back when he was here? Or we made him available, maybe? Oh, a smaller version. Okay. Well, on December 25th, I just want to read to you. It was such a good devotional. He had this to say about hearing. He said, Jesus told the parable different people heard the word of God, and Satan came immediately to one group and stole the word that was sown in their hearts. How was he able to do that? He said, look at the phrasing of what the scripture says. When they have heard, Jesus says they have herders. They are have herders. He doesn't say they're hearing, but they have heard. When people have heard the word, Satan stole away the word because the person somewhere along the line quit hearing the word. See, it's not enough. It's not enough just to say, I've heard the Bible a day ago, a week ago, a month ago, last Sunday. I know this sounds like you'd expect it from me as your pastor, but it's so true that it's not enough to hear the Bible even yesterday. You've got to be a hearer. Means current, now, up to date, up to the moment. I'm a hearer of the word. Those who are hearing, right? What did he say in the Shema prayer? Hear, O Israel. Present tense. Hear right now. Hear now, and then 3 hours from now, hear then. Amen? And tonight before you go to bed, do what? Hear. The Jews remind themselves of that three times a day, every day of their life. So it's a word to us, amen? We are the spiritual Israel. So I think it's a fitting word for us as well. Hear, O Israel, hear God. Be a current hearer of the word. People of the word do this. They regard what is real rather than what they feel. People who are hearers of the word are people who have learned to regard what is real. That is what God put in this book. That's what's real, not what they feel. You can feel all kinds of things. There's no condemnation for your feelings. Aren't you glad? You can wake up one morning feeling blue. I'm glad there's no condemnation for me feeling blue. You can feel angry. It's what you do with that anger that gets you in trouble. Amen? It's okay. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. As we left the airport Friday morning, flying out of Idaho, of course, as I mentioned, the snow clouds were rolling in to douse the people that stayed behind, but we were leaving. We were saying goodbye to the snow. But as we took off into the air, I noticed at one point we opened the window shade just enough, and we were right in the midst of the clouds. And because of the way the sun was shining through the clouds and just white everywhere, it was almost blinding. And I was thinking about the pilot on the plane. I thought, man, he's doing good to fly through. It's like flying through a fog, just white, and then the sunlight shining through it just made it reflective, almost like you couldn't see. But you know, those pilots have a way of doing that. They call it instrument flying, right? They train them particularly that in, hey, if you don't have clear skies, you've got to fly by those instruments on the panel. This is the instrument on your panel. When you don't have clear skies in 2026, this is your instrument. This is how you fly. This is how you survive and don't nosedive into the earth and implode in 2026. It's flying by the instruments. It's flying by what God says, what is real, rather than what you feel. Amen? You know, honestly, American Christians, we just have too much truth to walk in unbelief. We really do. Think of all the teaching that's available to us, the books, the Bibles, the ministries that we have in the palm of our hand. You could pull up your favorite preacher, whoever that might be, of any place, anywhere around the world. You can watch them day or night. It's just uncanny, the amount of power that's available to the church to keep us in faith. Amen? To keep us as hearers, not having herders, but hearers of the word. Amen? I did some research recently. I was curious about the investment that the U.S. government makes in some of their military to prepare them. And I thought the Marines would be a really good one to research. So I did some looking into, what does it cost? What does the government expend to train one U.S. Marine? Have you ever looked into that? Any idea what it costs? You might be surprised by this. The initial instruction, this is in the boot camp phase, to provide housing, food, and of course, expendables, bullets, Mike, $15,000 on average, about $15,000, 1-5, $15,000. Now, once they're trained, they've gone through boot camp, they've qualified as a Marine, then they do additional up to 20-week training, and that can run as much as $55,000 for one man. This readies them for deployment in their unit. This gets them up to the point of being trained, sharpened, not just qualified as a Marine, but trained as a Marine and ready to deploy. $55,000 to $70,000. Now, if they go on for additional training to become part of an elite force like the Marine Recon, or similar to the Navy SEALs, that can run as high as $250,000 to $500,000. That's a lot of money for one man. Now, if they have the itch to take to the air, they become a Marine aviator, flying those amazing F-35s. We were in California back in November, and as we were driving to our destination from the airport for the conference, a group of about four or five F-35s flew over, and they're like just on the verge of a spacecraft. They're so futuristic looking. Well, if a Marine who wants to be an aviator with an F-35, it will cost anywhere from $1 to $5 million. Per man. That covers his training, the advanced equipment, advanced schooling. Now consider all that. Next time you hear in the news, one Marine was killed here, two Marines, 10 Marines, etc., right? Think of that investment in each of those U.S. Marines. Now my point is this: God has made an investment in you. If you grew up in a Christian home, that's an investment. If you've grown up in church, wow, what a legacy you've got. Every time you hear a song on the radio of encouragement to you, that's God investing in you to bring you to a point of being ready to deploy, if you will. Amen? Every time a friend of yours has recommended a good book or somebody's led you to a particular online or media ministry that has really blessed you, God has invested in you to bring you to that level. And yet you still run into Christians now and then who you try to encourage them in the word. You share a verse of scripture with them and they look at you with this kind of deer in the headlight look and they go, yeah, I know the Bible says that, but, which is the equivalent of Satan in the garden telling Eve, hath God really said, right? Anytime someone questions this book, they have strayed far. That you know right away, that's someone who's flying not by their instrument panel. They are flying by their feelings. And it's so, so dangerous to live life by your feelings. They will try to dictate to you, but not to us because we are people of the word. Amen? We are people of the word. Let me say this about the Bible. The Bible is a greater heritage than the best family you ever came from. If we took a poll in here and you know someone in here came from just an amazing pedigree of humans, what they call it, pedigree? I'll just use that word because I have two dogs at home. So, you know, no matter what your pedigree, what stock you came from, maybe you're somewhere up the line, your great 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 somebody was royalty. I'm telling you, once you get born again, you get implanted, grafted into a heritage like no other. And this book represents 4,000 years of the Jewish history, what we call Judaism. And you and I got brought into that heritage. And every blessing, every promise that was given to those people is given to us. It's far supersedes anything your parents could have handed you in the way of an inheritance or a pass down of goodness. Amen? Just forget your family. There's actually a psalm, I think it's Psalm 45, where the psalmist is talking to the bride of the king, and he says, forget your family. The king is enthralled with your beauty. And this is what Jesus says to us. He looks at us and says, you're my bride. No matter where you've come from, I'm your future. Amen? And your future is in this book, as you hear, O Israel. There are times when we're flying by the instrument panel, the word of God, and we feel like we're the only one out of a million people that are doing so. I mean, the world around you can all be jumping over a cliff with, you know, those springy shoes on. I mean, just with enthusiasm. And you can look and feel like, man, Lord, I'm the only one out of millions who are really believing your promise, believing your truth, believing what you say about things, your point of view. So be a Joshua. Be a Caleb. I'm a little partial to that one. Be a one out of a million. You know, I don't care if the whole world goes crazy. I'm following Jesus. How about you? I don't care if they all quit going to church, take up drugs, drinking, shooting, killing, cussing. I don't care what they take up. There is a standard in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must depart from wickedness. I don't know about you, but I'm working on departing from wickedness. Praise the Lord. It's a lifelong process, don't you know? Giving up Adam. Giving up your DNA from what was passed down to you humanity-wise. We call it sanctification, holiness. I'm following Jesus. How about you? We're going to be people of the word in 2026. I like what Bill Johnson brought out. He said, you know, in the natural, talking about hunger, the less you eat, the hungrier you become. It's the exact opposite in the spirit. In the spirit, the more you eat, the hungrier you become. See, if you're not hungry for this book, it may have been a while since you cracked its cover. You can tell how into the Bible you are by how much you're reading it right now, how hungry you are for it. If you don't feel a hunger for it, it's a good chance you're away from it. Because the more you're into it, the hunger, you've got to know more, you've got to taste more, you've got to eat more. That's the way it works in the spirit. As one minister said, interest follows attention. What you give your attention to, your interest will follow. So the more, it's just, if I can say it this way, it's almost magical. But the more you read the Bible, the more you want to read the Bible. That's why it's risky to miss a lot of church, because in your flesh, what happens in your carnal self, the more you miss church, the more you feel like you can live without church. Honestly, it's a dangerous place to come to. So stay hungry. Stay hungry. In 2026, I believe in God. I'm speaking this over us, that we will be a people who read the word, chew the word, and speak the word. We'll read it, we'll chew on it, which means listen to it more and more, meditate on it, think about it, and then speak it. Speak it. I want to encourage you, if you've never done so, to read through the entire Bible this next year. If you read four chapters a day, Monday through Saturday, you're done through the Old and New Testament. We do a program. We'll start it again later this week. One chapter a day, every day, Monday through Friday, and that gets us through the New Testament each year. But I want to encourage some of you that have never done it, do more. Amen. I want to provoke you and challenge you to read the entire book in one year. It's not easy, but it'll bless you. And don't just make it a once a year thing. I mean, one time thing. Make it a lifetime pursuit. Every year of my life from now on, from now till I go to be with Jesus, I'm going to read this book every year. See, that shouldn't just be a goal for the preacher. It should be your goal. Amen. As I wind down real quick, let me give you some practical tips in the way of translations. I should have had this as a slide on the screen, but you can take notes on your phone or your paper there. There are two ways that Bible translations are grouped. One is like the actual wording, and the other is the thought. We call that a paraphrase Bible, right? Paraphrase translation. So in the way of wording, I would recommend these four translations for your consideration. If you don't have a hardcover Bible, consider getting one in 2026. Get a new Bible this year. If you need a new Bible, get one. Go down and invest in it. King James is my top ranking as far as wording, content. King James translation, or KJV. Second up is NASB, stands for New American Standard Bible. My wife likes that, and it is a very, very accurate word-for-word translation, NASB. If you can find the 1995 version, what happens is every couple years, these guys, now it's become kind of almost a money pursuit, honestly, and the publishers of these different translations, they'll look for a reason to introduce a new version, right? Because we're always thinking as a society, we need a newer version. But the 1995, as opposed to the 2020 NASB, is probably preferred or recommended there. NIV is my favorite translation, New International Version, NIV. And there again, like Terry, going back to the 95, I like going back to the NIV 1984 version. It's just poetically, it's worded nice. I like it because I grew up on King James. It's closer to King James. NIV, if you can find, and you can still find on Amazon, NIV 1984, I recommend that. Fourthly, Amplified Classic, AMPC. This is Dolly's favorite. It's very, very accurate word for word. It's just that there's more words there, quite a bit more. The Amplified does exactly what it says. It amplifies things, expands ideas. So it's good for study. It's really good for stopping and meditating. For readability, I would say the NIV, the NASB, or the ESV. Those are very readable. Now, as far as paraphrase translations or thought translations, in words, they gather the thought of the content, not necessarily word for word directly. I would recommend NLT. Just write the abbreviation NLT. That stands for New Living Translation. The TPT, the Passion Translation, TPT. That's a very good one, especially if you're reading Psalms. The Passion Translation is a beautiful rendering of the Psalms. Also, MSG, not the stuff they don't want to put in food anymore. MSG is the Message Translation. If you can get your hands on a Message Translation, and those are in typical Bible apps. MSG also, that was done by a Presbyterian pastor, a man named Eugene Peterson. And he had a very fascinating life. God used him mightily. And at the end of his life, he wrote the Message Translation of the Bible. And it's very well done. Also, God's Word, GW. For study, to get the thought of the content of the verse you're reading. If you ever read a verse and you go, what are they really saying here? Go look it up on your Bible app. I recommend YouVersion. And look at the GW, God's Word Translation. It's very succinct. That's what I like about GW. It's not like the Amplified where it expands it out, you know, to a paragraph. But it's very succinct, but it will clearly illuminate what the verse is saying. I really like the GW. So ideally, you could get what's called a parallel Bible. You know, maybe a King James on one side of the page and one of these other NLT or Message or GW on the other side of the page. Amen? So those are just some practical tips there on translations. Those are the ones I like. Let's look at one verse, last verse of Scripture. And let me say this. Don't hesitate spending a good amount on a Bible, a hardcover Bible. I mean, used to be back in the day, $30, $40 would get you a decent Bible. Nowadays, that's not such a decent Bible. I mean, the cover's going to fall apart pretty soon if you don't spend a good amount. So be willing to cough up $60, $100. I mean, that's what, you know, 10 treks to Starbucks over time. And it's a whole lot better for you, right? So be willing to invest in a good leather cover Bible. Find a translation you like. If you're not sure, take two or three of your favorite verses and do a research on like YouVersion Bible app and see which version you like, you know, which gels with you best as far as readability. But invest in a good Bible in 2026. Every couple years, you know, just get a new one. It'll do a lot to spark your, it's like buying new gym clothes. Right? It'll do a lot to motivate you to get out there. And so if you want to spark your motivation to read the Bible, get you a new Bible. Even just coughing up that money will help motivate you to read it. Amen? Look at this last verse as we close out today. Romans 5:20, excuse me, 4:20. Almost threw Alan there. Romans 4:20 here on the screen in the King James Version. Let's read it out loud. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is the description of you in 2026. This is a very clear prophetic word for your life in the coming year. You are going to stagger not. That means like, you know, like thrown off your game through doubt and unbelief. And I like the NASB. It says instead of but was strong, it says but grew strong. Amen. You're going to grow strong in 2026 in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Talking about the Bible is not near as exciting as reading the Bible. And amen. And preaching the word. So today was a bit of a more of a practical message for the new year. But take what I've shared with you today. And I encourage you to dive in as never before into the Word of God in 2026. Make it a habit. You know, a habit is something if you miss it one day. You know, if you miss going to the gym one day, you don't say, oh, I'm done with the gym. No, the next day you just go again. Amen? It's the beauty of life. It just keeps going on and on. So lift your hands to heaven. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over you as we conclude today. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You say, Pastor, the reason I don't read my Bible is because I don't understand it. Well, I have news for you. The author of the book lives in you. He lives within your soul. He lives within, inside your heart. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who authored the book. And as I pray today, I believe that 2026 is going to show a new understanding. You're going to have a new insight every time you read the scriptures. A new level of revelation is going to come to you. Amen. Do you believe it? Lift your hands to heaven and know that from this day forward, things are going to change in what you experience when you read the book. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for a supernatural understanding to come upon your people. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. That as they open the book, they'll see one man. His name is Jesus. And they'll understand grace and truth that came through Jesus Christ. Father, do it today, right now. Pour out an anointing on us as never before. We need this. We need the revelation of your word. We need to go higher, Jesus. We need to go deeper in you. We need to understand you, who you are, so we can reveal you to the world. So do it now to your church. Give us clarity. Give us understanding. Help us to read even the passages that are difficult to understand, even the books that we've shied away from. Help us to dive in as never before in 2026 into your word and be people of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe he's doing it. Amen. Anytime you receive prayer for something like that, look for the difference. When you go home today or tomorrow, you open your Bible, look for the difference. Look for a new understanding as you read the book. Amen. As we wind down today, let me just pray for one other group of people, if you would bow your heads just one more moment. Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, you say, Pastor, I've never been born again. I've never given my life, never surrendered fully to the Lord. Or you could say, I'm away from Jesus. I've been walking my own path, but I want to return to him today. If that's you today, today's your time of surrender. And I don't take that lightly. The minute we walk out these doors, we step out into the uncertainty of the world around us. It's a dangerous place. And if you need to know today that your heart is made right, you're back in alignment with Jesus, or you're born again, never given Jesus your total surrender, if that's you today, raise your hand. I want to pray a prayer together and get you into that place of assurance. Anybody at all? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's all pray this together. Father, thank you for sending Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you for removing my sin, Jesus, for casting it as far as the east is from the west. I give you my whole life today. I surrender to you as Lord and Master, and I call you my Savior from this day forward. Thank you, Father, for making me your child, for welcoming me back into your arms as my Creator, my Redeemer. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd like to meet you down here at the pulpit. If you just share that with me, just say, I prayed that prayer for the first time. I've just given my life to Jesus. I just want to know about it today. Just share it with me before you go. That'll bless me. Amen. God bless you as you go. Happy New Year. Be people of the Word.